Okay, today, first of all, let's follow protocol. Today is September 14th, 2014. It's Sunday afternoon. It's our class in response to literature, Makot B'Halakha. Call it what you wish. I'm passing around this sheet. Please print your name clearly next to your name, where you're from, and what year, when you went to college, Yeshiva College or elsewhere, YC is quick, briefly, and what year smicha, so I have some idea of who is Dalef Neaton Mejom, or you just put your name in, I know your background. That's number one. Number two, I want to dedicate the shiur as we speak. Did you find out the time of the funeral? It won't be, at least an hour and a half.
Are we having Marav here tonight?
It'll be too early to daven Marav. Again, I'll catch Marav in Givat Mordechai. Marav there is 7:09, Mashahu Kaseh. The big shul, there's shuls all over, but the big shul.
How's your grandson?
The antibiotics are working, the infection is receding. We'll know.
Able to walk?
He's walking. It's just the tiredness. But we'll know more. He's doing a test now, and he sees the surgeon in a few days. We'll know more. B'ezrat Hashem. Amen, amen. B'toch shakol chol amei amo Yisrael. There are a lot of boys here.
I was inside for 3 weeks, scared.
Yeah, no, I also had two others inside for 3 weeks. Those walked in and those that walked out. Okay. I want to dedicate this shiur tonight a name that some of you should know, Professor Dov Zlatnik. Professor Zlatnik, very fascinating individual, grew up in Brooklyn, grew up in Crown Heights. He died approaching 90 years of age. He went to the seminary, was more or less the Talmud Mufak of Reb Shaul Lieberman. And Professor Zlatnik later taught at the seminary. I saw him in his prime, I know him many, many decades already. I would say he knew Shisha Sidre Mishnah, I would say by heart, plain and simple. His specialty was Mishnah, and he was very devoted to Reb Shaul Lieberman. When Reb Shaul Lieberman died, some of you know he died without children, so Professor Zlatnik was the one who what do they call the person they leave in charge of the
executor.
Will? The what's the word?
Executor
of his will. In addition, Professor Zlatnik comes up time and again in all the works that are being done on the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He comes up three different ways. Number one, having grown up in Crown Heights, he knew the Rebbe when the Rebbe was first getting started, when the Lubavitcher Rebbe was not yet the Lubavitcher Rebbe, but rather a young Rebbe trying to get started in Brooklyn against all odds. And for the first 2 years after he graduated the seminary, he was a rabbi in a conservative temple in Massachusetts, near the sea, and he was very successful. At the end of 2 years, they asked him to stay, and they were willing to give him a life contract. And he went to the Rebbe, spoke it up with the Rebbe. The Rebbe told him to stay, but he didn't listen to the Rebbe that time, and he went to the seminary where he taught. Many years later, he asked, when the seminary started to shift gears and halacha was no longer officially part of the seminary's outlook, Weltanschauung, he asked the Rebbe, should he leave the seminary? And the Rebbe told him, as long as Reb Shaul Lieberman is there, you should remain there. So that's the second story. The third story is perhaps the most important, that at the seminary, it had to be sometime in the 60s, I believe, Reb Dov Zlatnik gave a talk on Tarat Mishpacha. And this was in the seminary already, shifting gears, the 1960s, the revolutions going on. And it was a very brilliant, powerful talk. The Rebbe found out about it, And Lubavitch popularized that talk by Reb Dov Zlotnik. He was a fabulous individual. Fortunately, perhaps for himself, but unfortunately for Klal Yisrael, when the seminary shifted gears with Professor Liebman's death, and they officially decided to ordain women, so probably some of you know that the heart of the seminary faculty, the Talmudic faculty, the Mishnaic faculty, the Rabbinic faculty, all retired. And it's a sad statement, but it was good for Dov. He came in Aliyah at the time, and he lived a block away from where I live. We daven in the same shul. This is how I know him so well. And many times I heard from him the story with the Rebbe, as long as Professor Liebman is there, you have to remain. And we'll talk, when we come to the Rebbe, we'll talk about the Lubavitcher Rebbe, his whole outlook, that if a Jew can do one more mitzvah, that was very important to the Rebbe. By the way, are you recording, Yomo? One, but where's the second? Okay, what can I tell you? A prophet is without honor in his own home, and that's an old story. Okay, Nekavelitov. Regarding the Satmarov, I got a lot of response to what I threw out, and I have total agreement that the voice of Lakewood has not been heard at all. And this is the Lakewood that Rabbi Aaron Cutler went ballistic when the Lubavitcher Rebbe said what he said in 1942, and here you have Mamish taking a whole Mishnah and throwing it out.
What about the
faculty
of YU?
Relax. Well, the faculty of YU, Baruch Hashem, I think I'm a member. But coming back here, and everyone loved what I said on Monday, that imagine if in Chovevei Torah, imagine if my Talmud, Rabbi Nari Helfgott, said what the Satmarov said. There would be such an outcry in Reitz. Rakefet would be in orbit, and here, Satmar. But the best comment I got, and we don't know whether it's true or anecdotal, that this comment came from a Talmud listening in Muncie, Dov Reifa, who himself was raised and is part of the right-wing world. He says, people went over to the Satmar Rav and said, how can you say this? It's an open Mishnah. And the Satmar Rav answered, it's no more than Agata. So they said to the Satmar Rav the same thing with the Gemara at the end of Ketuvot, where it says, Adya Luba Choma, Yerudu Kenegad Umot Olam, the three oaths, the Shalosh Fuat, that's not more than Agata. And that was a very sharp retort.
What did he say?
He didn't respond. This is all I can tell you is what I was told.
See, our problem with the Jewish world.
One second.
Love is a grace of Talmud Chochmah.
Rabbi Rubin, relax. I'm not even willing to agree that he is a great Talmud Chacham. You're way ahead of me. Let him come into the shin. Let's talk and learning, and let's see if he's a Talmud Chacham. Now, let's. But I was told the following, that Reb Chaim Kanyanovsky was asked about the Mishnah. After all, the girls dancing in the vineyards. And Rav Chaim answered, of course the girls have to dance in the vineyards. If the girls wouldn't be dancing in the vineyards, the boys would not come. So that is quite a sharp answer. Finally, Rakefet has only this to say, after living, if anyone is, one second, you have to be Simon?
Yes.
Simon Wonder. Okay, pass that, or those that are, give it to Vic. Let Vic sign. And anyone who's in my class, I'm taking an official list, so I'll get to know the names. Gentlemen, I'll tell you what Rakefet has to say, as someone who has lived for 3,500 years. What we have to do is surrender to the Mishnah. And these shtick we have in modern times with sneers that the world has gone crazy. They don't mention women's names. You see, they announce an engagement. This man got engaged, and his father is this one, and the woman is not even mentioned, just her father. My dear friends, all these attempts at abnormality do not solve the sexual problem. Satmar has as many Jews rotting away in jail for sexual crimes as any other institution. The Haredi world, I don't want to say, has more scandals than the world in which I live, even though I believe they do, but I don't want to be vindictive. And Baruch Hashem, we have to live according to Torah. And that Mishnah opens our eyes. What a beautiful Mishnah, and what a magnificent comment by Reb Chaim Kanievsky, which fits right in with the famous letter of his father, the stipler, Reb Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, which I quoted in my lectures on sex and marriage, which I devoted a year to it many years ago. If you want to hear about the letter, look up my lectures. I got to get down to work. Now, one correction. Rabbi Hertz, who corrected me when I told you the story with Reb Malki El Kotla, with people asking him to invite why you people, such as Rav Heschel Schechter, to speak at Torah Mesorah, I said in class that Rav Mayaglil said, that's not Torah. He really said, that's not our Hashkafa. Now, I can't go into any more detail. I don't think there's any difference between what I said, what he said. That's exactly what he meant. But I want to be accurate, intellectual honesty. Now, down to work at the middle of the class, I'll go through the list and see me v'mi ha'chochim. Today's shiur, we're going to touch upon some very important problems, but if that go way beyond the confines of Erev. But to summarize what we said last week and to summarize what we said a whole year, there's no question when it comes to Erev, you can't be Yotze all the Shittat. If you're Chayshitz for Tetzai and Amot, then it presents a tremendous problem in any big city. Beth El, I'm told, they'd be less than Tetzai and Amot. You told me that in Bnei Brak, and I have a grandson living in Bnei Brak today. So maybe at a certain point I'll visit him, and I want to see what it looks like. But if you divide a street in half with a mechitza of 10 tfachim, 50 inches lachatchila, 48 inches, b'dieved 40 inches perhaps, you also solve the problem. But then what do you do if you get involved with a city with 600,000 people walking around the streets? And you're not koshish for Tetzai and Amot, but if you come to big cities like where Yerushalayim is there already, where over 600,000 citizens, Tel Aviv is over 600,000 citizens. I don't know about Haifa. New York is over 600,000. Isn't London over 600,000? So the problem becomes a major problem. Okay, Machloket HaPoskim. And Reb Meisha and Reb Menashe Klein dueled with drawn swords, whether they themselves or the people around them, but the machloket over Brooklyn became a tremendous machloket. Can you build an Erev? Can't you build an Erev? And what's fascinating is that when you look back now, and I'll give you sources today to validate everything I'm saying, when you look back now, it's like this machloket became the machloket that shaped their lives. When you think of Reb Meisha, immediately the machloket over the Brooklyn Erev comes to mind. When you think of Reb Menashe Klein, 99% of the people who relate to Reb Menashe Klein, and you say to them, what did Reb Menashe Klein do? They will immediately say, he's the one that gave us the ability to build an Erev in Brooklyn. Now, I showed you in Chelek Chet of the Mishnah Halachot, Siman Samach, beginning with Siman Samach Bet, going for hundreds and hundreds of pages, Reb Menashe Klein reproduces most of what he wrote in Kutresim in the Machloket over the Erev. And then I showed you a tshuva he wrote, and he's attacked, so now in Chelek Chet, Siman Kuf Samach Zayin, where it's evidently, I have the feeling it's Talmidim from Lakewood, the same Talmidim who I spoke about last year, who wrote to him, and he wrote back, and he knew their parents, and they quote the Gemara in a Reuven that the Bat Kol went out and praised Shlomo HaMelech, a Reuven Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Bet. We spoke about this last week, and praised Shlomo HaMelech for making a gezeira that you cannot carry from a Reshut HaYachid to Reshut HaYachid for fear you would carry from Reshut HaYachid to Reshut HaRabim. So they attacked Rav Menashe Klein. Here Shlomo HaMelech is praised for being machmir. And he answers, but there's a second side, that Takana, the gezeira was not the carry, but the Takana afterwards was Erev Chatzerot. And by making Erev Chatzerot, you can carry because you unite the two backyards into one. So it all depends what you're looking at. Do you look at the Isa or do you look at the Heta? And Rav Menashe Klein defends himself 100%. Okay, and now we've arrived at, in this tshuva, continuing in the tshuva, Rav Menashe Klein raises an issue which they raise and he deals with it. And I want to deal with this. It's a broad issue in all of Psak Halacha. Sometimes we have individuals, by virtue of their brilliance, their piety, they become the best known rabbinic authority of that generation. So you have to ask a simple question. Can we argue with them, or do we have to follow them to the letter of the law? And you have many sources in the Gemara. For instance, the Gemara talks about what's Reb Meir. Was so brilliant, he could find endless reasons l'tacher et hasheretz. Who do you follow? Sometimes people are so profound, no one can understand them. You take an example in modern times, the Rocket Shavagon, Rabbi Yosef Rosen. I remember my only Rebbe who's alive, should live and be well, Rabbi Yosef Weiss. You've heard the name, right? YU faculty. So Rabbi Yosef Weiss, his most treasured possession was a postcard he got from the Rocket Shava in the 1930s when he was a kid in Reitz, asking him a question. And he got an answer. The Rocket Shava. Any Chabad Chassid? I trust there's some people here who know something about the Rebbe. When you meet a Chabad Chassid, he's going to tell you right away that the Rebbe corresponded with the Rocket Shava. Rocket Shava, genius of geniuses. If you want more information on him, look into Making of a Gadol. I don't want to repeat some of the stories Reb Nissen Kamenetsky tells, but you'll see there who the Rocket Shava was. Do we follow him lahalacha? In other words, people at times are so brilliant, they can come up with so many svarot. And this question is fascinating because you can carry it further. There is no doubt that the greatest posek to live in the United States who engaged in psak halacha lemaisa was Reb Moshe Feinstein. No doubt about it. You can argue Reb Henkin was a posek. You can argue there was Reb Yehuda Leib Foyer. They were goyne Yisrael. But no one dealt halacha lemaisa and published as much as Reb Moshe published. Well, do you have a right to differ with Reb Moshe? Take the Israeli scene. Rav Ovadia Yosef. Rav Ovadia Yosef, God only Rabin Shemo, the man's bekiyot was overwhelming. They once put him up against the computer, and Rav Ovadia knew more than the computer. And I'm telling you as it is, as it was. All right, I knew Rav Ovadia personally. The man's knowledge, his ability at psak, knew to have a right to differ with Rav Ovadia Yosef. An interesting question. I have a shaila in my mind right now. A Talmud is burying. It's a Talmud from the 60s, early 60s, I believe, late cipher. It's the 60s. Anyway, it's a family from the Bronx, so it's not just the Talmud, but the Bronx. I knew his parents yet. So his mother died. She suffered for 10 years with Alzheimer's. So I'll ask you a simple shaila. Does he put on tefillin? Doesn't he put on tefillin? She davened, she died on Friday. The funeral will first be tomorrow. Assuming the plane will arrive on time, it'll be tomorrow early afternoon. So 1 second. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Forget about Aninut. Aninut I'm not talking about. When the funeral is over, Avelut begins, right or wrong. No, Avelut begins. First day Avelut, are you allowed to put on tefillin? It's a special halacha, the Gemara in Marikatan. You're not allowed to put on tefillin. It's pe'er, it's beautiful, you can't put on. No, me'ika hadin, that's when the Yom Hamita, the Yom HaKfir is the same day. What about if it's separated 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days? Now, what Herbie Moltz threw out may or may not be correct. I don't know what he did. He didn't ask me shilas. He has Rabbanim where he lives. He lives in Yerushalayim, and his father is very close to Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld. I want to ask you a different question. Is he an Onain all 4 days? Shabbat is not an Onain. But what about the other days? He gave it over to the Chevra Kadisha. What does he have to do? Or no, he's on call. He's living here. The burial is here. The Chevra Kadisha might call him. Then maybe you take the Rav's approach that Aninut is a halacha in the gestalt of the human being. Misha Metom Talav Banav can't bring himself to do mitzvah taseh. Very fascinating. And if he broke the Aninut, then it's a lot easier to say he should put on tefillin after the Avelut, when the Avelut begins. What about if he didn't break the Aninut and it's a 4 day lapse? So I was looking around in the Beis Medrash. I wanted to look into the Geshe. I knew what I thought right away. It turned out I was right. But I don't want to depend upon memory in case I'm asked tomorrow. So Yomo said to me right away, we got to look at Rav Avadya Yosef. And he brought to me 3 volumes that, if you look, those volumes, I bought those volumes. You saw they're dedicated in memory of my parents. It's what I gave after my mother died in my parents' memory. Zichronon Levracha. So you see, Rav Avadya Yosef and Yomo said it, shaking with fear. And let's understand who Yomo is. He's from the Ukraine, okay? Yomo's from the Ukraine. Vi kumt etzav Rav Avadya Yosef? He could speak. The Rav Avadya didn't speak Yiddish. I learned in Lakewood. When I learned in Lakewood, I told you more than once. I write about it in Washington. Anything written in Washington is not a lie. They convinced me in Lakewood that the Torah was given in Yiddish. And I believe them until today. So here's Yomo talking about Rav Avadya shaking. All right, I'm throwing out a very... Excuse me? I'm going to give you an answer, but Yitzchak, I hope these are young people here that are going to do doctorates. You understand? The Rav, in Telushkin's book, he has a whole chapter on the difference between the Rav and the Rebbe in relation to secular education. He has a whole quote in the text, a guy named Rakefet Dashrovkov, a hyphenated dummy. And I couldn't believe how I wind up in his text in Miller. Forget about the footnotes, there they have to quote me, but in the text. So you'll see, he quotes the Rav telling individuals, if you must get a doctorate, education only is complete when you have a doctorate. It's the Rav speaking. So I'm throwing out an idea. Maybe these are young men. Maybe Bernard Rebel thinks like Rakefet. Maybe Bernard Rebel, I don't know. Hebrew, you, wherever they're going to go, Bar Ilan. I love Torah with all my heart and soul, my might, my nefesh, my whatever. Torah is Torah. What a fascinating topic. You have to research it and see. But here, I'll give you some sources that when you do your doctorate, you can quote what happened here. Now, what happened here is very simple. The guys in Lakewood threw at, I think it's Lakewood, that's my educated guess from all his tshuva, but they threw at Reb Menashe HaKatan, how can you go against the Gra? Who the heck are you? You little nobody. Who are we to go against the Gra? The Gaon was against building an Erev. How dare you criticize Reb Moshe? How dare you take a different viewpoint? The Gra said no Erev. Now, this, I want to tell you right away, this gets us involved. I have a son-in-law, one of my sons-in-law does everything according to the Gaon. He does everything. He grew up in Flatbush. He went to Flatbush Yeshiva, graduated high school, college at Columbia at 19, and came in Aliyah to Yeshiva Akoto, was there for many decades. Fine. And he does everything according to the Gra. How many of you follow the Gra? How many of you Talmidim of the Rav, the Gra? I want to ask you a question. I asked Yomo, no, do you say the Dovad Hashem Ori? Tell me. You say it or you don't say it? Yomo told me in YU they say the Dovad Hashem Ori. In Gris Kolel, did I say the Dovad Hashem Ori? I want to ask you a question. Did the Gra say the Dovad Hashem Ori? We don't even. One viewpoint is absolutely not. Can you tell me why he didn't say Ms. Mashiach HaKatabayit either? Why? The Gemara in Shabbos, Kolo Me'achalu B'chol Yom HaReza Mecharefu Megadef. If you add on, Simon, you understand me? If you add on to the Mizmarei Tehillim that Anshei Knesset HaGolu U'metakein, you are Mecharefu Megadef. So then that's one viewpoint. The other viewpoint is the Gaon said it during the week. He didn't say it on Shabbos. Why didn't he say it on Shabbos? Because Shabbos, you don't blow shofar. That's, now, go and figure out the Gaon's viewpoint. You understand? You're going to say with the Gaon, it ends everything? Give you another example, a simple example. Vic, Simchas Torah is coming. Vic is still suffering. This gentleman had the misfortune of hearing a guy named Rakefet in Flatbush a number of years ago already, and he made up his mind, he's retiring and coming in Aliyah. What a poor guy. So now, I want to tell you one of the culture shocks of Israel. My first year in Israel, you won't believe it, 69, it was an unbelievable culture shock. Shabbat, Shmini Atzeres, and Simchas Torah fell one day, the same day. Could you imagine? Shabbat, Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres, Tfilat Geshem. Where I grew up, there was a big balcony, and you know, an old type shul, God, if you have mercy, it's probably a church today, many times over, but it's still standing. You couldn't stand near the balcony. Can anyone tell me why? The women were crying so, Tfilat Geshem, what we say here in Israel, finished. 40 minutes. Piyut, a shtekel achazen. People are crying, tears pouring down. Then the next day, Simchas Torah. Yomo, were you drunk on Simchas Torah in Washington Heights? Oh, what goes on? And here in Israel, one day. How do you combine it? Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah. All right, Simchas Torah. Tell me, Vic. Yantif night, Simchas Torah night. I have my own minyan, my children, my family. They run a shul, you know that. So I don't. You know part of it. You know they're all Bal Koreis, all Bal Tefillah, Kulam Kedoshim, Tahora. I'm the only one in my family. I can't carry a tune. I can't lay in one syllable. And all my grandsons, every last one, is an excellent Bal Korei. All my sons-in-law, begin with the son, all. Unbelievable. No, did you lay in Simchas Torah night? Did you lay in? Tell me, where are you from? Philadelphia HaKodesh. Do you lay in Philadelphia Simchas Torah night? How can you lay in at night? I gave Shuman, it's not time now. What are you, a shake? It's a nice spot? No, south of it. Until today, we don't know what the Gaon did. It's brought down in the Maaser Rav that he lay in Simchas Torah night. I think he had, take a look, either five or three. Laying that night, I think five. But I'm not, my memory is not perfect on it. In Yerushalayim, there 100 shuls don't lay in, and they tell you Minhag Gra. What's going on here? What's going on here? So, does it end with the Gra or doesn't it end with the Gra? Okay.
One second, there is such a thing as being too intellectual. For example, we all sing Shalom Aleichem, right?
Right.
So now you have the Rambam comes along and tells us that you shouldn't sing Bochuni Lashon, because we want a bracha from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not from an angel. Then you go a little bit of nothing. Now you go further. The Rambam was against Yigdal.
Rabbi Reuben, the Rebbe wasn't the only one against Yigdal. The Rosh Hashulchan was against Yigdal too.
Very nice.
Believe
me.
And my Talmud Rabbi, Dr. Professor Mark Shapiro, is against Yigdal too. He wrote a whole book, right?
He has a problem with a separate discussion. The emphasis is, what does the Bell do?
Rabbi Reuben.
That's the
Rabbi Reuben is saying that sometimes people are ibachachem. That's what you're saying. They're overly bright. So the Rav was against Yigdal. Samat pitom, the 13 principles. A lot has been written on this. The Aruch HaShulchan was against it. Look into the Aruch HaShulchan. You'll see. The Rav. Okay. What Yitzchak is saying is very correct. It goes back to what we spoke about last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that when all is said and done, the Gemara in Bracha Daf Mem Hei Yomer Aleph is very important. Fuk Chazi Mai Amad Davar. Go and see what the people do. And if we spoke about Dov Zlatnik, so we spoke about the seminary again. I can't redo. Gentlemen, over the years, I haven't repeated a shiur since the Kollel began with a formal program. I spent a lot of time on the history of the conservative movement, the reform movement, and I analyzed the conservative movement. You have to analyze very carefully because they began as a Torah true movement. Look at their constitution. Look at their preamble. 1887, when JTS opened, Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh. So Salomon Schechter developed the idea of Catholic Israel. You know who Salomon Schechter, Shnur Zalman Schechter. Shnur Zalman tells you came from a Chabad background. He became very famous because of the Cairo Geniza, was reader of Judaic text in Cambridge, and Jacob Schiff, who the Satma, who wrote the book on RJJ, declared him Rabbi Yankel Schiff because he gave $100. God, how you? He gave $100 100 plus years ago, so he became Rabbi Yankel Schiff. Jacob Schiff was president of Temple Emmanuel, but having been raised in Frankfurt on the lap with Rabbi Shmuel Fall Hirsch, he felt there should be an enlightened orthodoxy in America. I'm quoting him, enlightened orthodoxy, quote end quote. So he brought Solomon Schechter to America in 1902, and Solomon Schechter begins building the seminary, and he introduces a principle. He writes about it. There are three volumes of his collected essays. I own two of them. They're very fascinating and very aggravating to me because you see where the man went off the path. But he does the idea of Catholic Israel. What does Catholic Israel mean? Catholic. What does the word Catholic mean? It's a Latin word. The universal church, universal Jewish people, they ultimately decide Jewish law. And out of that comes the whole conservative movement of tradition and change. Okay? To quote Mayo Waxman's famous book, Tradition and Change. And there's one fallacy to what he said. Yes, the people play a role. What Rabbi Reuben said is correct. And the Gemara says, Fuk hazi maya mad davar. The Gemara in Psachim, dafa ayin vav, when the Gemara talks about if they forget, it may be Samach Vav, check if I'm quoting the daf correctly, but I don't have it in front of me, but it's Psachim. If you forget to prepare the knife, Erev Shabbos, to have in the Beis Hamikdash, when you have to bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos, how do you get the knife to the Beis Hamikdash, the famous Gemara with Hillel Zakein? And finally he says, Smoch al b'nei Yisrael, lo neviim heim b'nei neviim heim. Don't know what to do. Yes, this is absolutely correct. But it is correct when people care about the halacha, when they care about observing the halacha, when they care about the v'ach Hashem zu halacha. Yes, then absolutely minhag, or nohag in modern Hebrew, plays a very important role. But when people don't give a hoot about Yiddishkeit, you're going to go to the American Jew, you're going to ask the Secretary of State, Mr. Cohn, you're going to ask his brother who converted back to Judaism, you're going to ask them about Yiddishkeit, you're going to ask Martin Waltright, who is Jewish, you're going to ask Martin Waltright about Yiddishkeit, they're going to determine Yiddishkeit. Bill Clinton's son-in-law is going to determine Yiddishkeit. You understand? This was the great fallacy, the great mistake of Solomon Schachter. All right, there's more, but I don't want to go off on a tangent. But what Rabbi Rubin says is correct. And this affected, I'll give you one example, that I've mentioned it 1,000 times over, and we've never been able to solve it. The Rav gave a tremendous yahrzeit shiur in the mid-50s on Kiddush V'Havdalah. And he, with tremendous lungness that I can repeat over until today, maybe one day in the Kollel I'll devote a whole year to giving over some of the Rav's greatest, most famous shiurim. And remember, I hit the Rav in his prime. We hit the Rav 57. Was the Rav in his absence. He was the Rav already, as I said in class last Monday. He was the Rav. So Havdalah, you sit or stand, and all the lumdus in the world has to indicate that you sit for Havdalah, just as you sit for Kiddush, to create a kaviyat suda, to create a shulchan shel Shabbos. You sit for Havdalah so that at that moment you are abrogating the Shulchan Shel Shabbos. You follow? Exactly. You're abrogating. You have to sit. When you stand up, the Shulchan is no longer a Shulchan Shel Shabbos. It's now Pirurei Chol. It's a regular weekday Shulchan. There's no longer a Kviyah. No? Did the Rav stand or sit? He spent the Shabbos in Yeshiva. Right after he gave that drasha, we lived in the Bronx. Half of why you lived in the Bronx, it was a different Bronx then, and it was a different New York Yankees then. It was a different world. As my wife says, it was a world that we understood. We don't understand Lady Gaga, what went on last night, 22,000 people. It's like Mashiach, and she praised Israel, and she's pro-Israel, Baruch Hashem. So I'm in Zayn Gesund. But it was a different world. So we all walked over. The Rav is going to speak after during Shalosh Shuris, and we were in the Beis Medrash, and everyone walked over, and the whole yeshiva then, you know, there were like 300 people there, which was a big crowd. The whole yeshiva from high school through Smicha was not more than 1,000 students, if that many. I may be overstating the case. And the Rav, it comes to Havdalah, and I remember the Gabbai Reese, his name was Reese. I made a shidduch. The Mashgiach asked me, I want to talk to you, could you step outside? I step outside the Beis Medrash, and Rav Lessen says to me, he has this girl, he's looking for a shidduch, and a Beis Yaakov girl, and I said to him, Freg Ries, he's old enough, and as far as I know, they've been happily married ever since. I hope they're alive. Ries was older than I am. So Ries comes over to the Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, the Talmidim Betnaich is of Machen Havdalah. The students are asking, are requesting, please make Havdalah. And they're like, no, okay. And immediately, Reese brings him the wine and the candle and the spices, and immediately, 300 guys sit down. And the Rav says, "Wer hat euch gesagt das Salt? Who taught you this secret?" And everyone says, "Rebbe, you just gave a shiur 2 weeks ago, the yahrzeit shiur for Rav Meisha." Everyone sat down. Until today, I can't get a straight picture. Did the Rav stand or did he sit? I remember the student sitting. I think the Rav sat down. Other people swear to me that he remained standing and said, "Was kann ich tun, mein Tata hat azay gefiert? What can I do? My father lived like this." It's like with Kiddush. I once, a Chabadnik down in Australia got very upset with me because in Shir, you know, you got to wake up a class. It's 5:15. You fellas just finished with Rabbi Bednash, etc., etc. So I came down so hard. I said, anyone who stands for Kiddush Hashem, it's a nice spot. How can you stand for Kiddush? You have to make Kviyat HaSuda, etc. You have to sit. And I said, but what can we do? Minig Abateinu B'yodeinu. And he got angry. I mean, you have to stand. There's a Shita in Taisvus already. You follow, look into Taisvus, you see. And Hasidim all stand. And I told them, I know that. I said, Minig Abateinu B'yodeinu. But I sound a little sharp to wake the class up. Anyway, these people are shooting at Reb Menashe Klein. How can you be in favor of an Erev if the Gong was opposed? And Reb Menashe Klein answers, yes, the Gong was greater than anybody. He was the Gadol Hadar. And nevertheless, in Vilna, there was an Erev. And he says, the Mishkanot Yaakov, and I remember I mentioned his name last week, who's a Talmud of the Gra, he's a Talmud of Reb Chaim Voloshin, who was the Talmud Mufak of the Gra. The Mishkanot Yaakov, totally opposed to any Cheruv, the one who Hirish Olamo, La'asol Kol Heirufim, that he said there is no Erev that is good because of Tetzayin Amat the Shita the Rambam, in his city, there was an Erev. And he says, it can be the greatest goal, but halacha doesn't end with one individual. We're going to see this. We're going to see this more and more. But it's right here. This is a fabulous undercurrent. That is halacha lemaisa, the Gemara in Chulin that I spoke about 3 years ago. Tafsayin Amar Aleph Makom Hinichu Lo Avotav Lehikdadepa. Plain and simple. Every Talmud Chacham. Who are we? What are we? I won't talk about you. I'll talk about myself. Who the heck is Rav Kessler? And yet, he was Zeicher L'Hatir Aguna. Read about it in Washington. I'll give you the source. You can see Rav Avadya's Tshuva was later published. That's all my Lamdanut. All my Lamdanut. Went to, you read why I had to go to Rav Avadya, because no Dayan felt strong enough with Sok Halacha L'maisa. Rav Avadya understood me within 2 minutes, minute and a half. Then he wrote a 22-page essay supporting my thinking with 1,001 sources. How can you do this? Makom Hinichalo Avotav Lehitkadeh. Alright. That's point number one. We're coming to a very major point in a second. Let me see. Me the Mi HaChochim. Is that Noam Cohen?
Noah.
Are you a medical doctor?
No.
You write like one.
Exactly.
You don't know. It's in the family. Yeshiva College, second year. But where are you from?
Boca.
Zev Kahana. Second year Yeshiva College. You're from, we spoke before, you're from Teaneck?
I grew up in Teaneck. My family lives in Chemish.
And you're related through marriage, I gather, to to Rabbi Dov Zlatnik. Any relationship to Meir?
Not that I know.
Nachman? You know that Nachman's son, Menachem Kahana, his next promotion in the army, he goes up to Brigadier General.
Tat Aluf,
yeah. Brigadier General. He's on Aluf Mishneh today.
It's politics.
Well, there is politics at that level,
right. But
he's very, very highly thought of. Menachem, I can't read your last name.
Davidson.
And where are you from?
I grew up here in Yerushalayim.
So what are you doing in the Kollel?
Hoping to get smicha from Marit.
One second. You grew up here. Where did you go to school? Where did you go to high school?
Marava.
After Marava?
We opened up a continuation to Marava.
One second. But to get into Reitz, you haven't studied in New York
not
at all?
Not yet. Next year is episode.
Why do you have to go next year? Tell them I said Jerusalem is good enough. You grew up here, you can remain here. And give
that was, in the beginning, that was the plan. Something changed last year, I'm not exactly sure what.
Bahatzlacha Menachem. Sounds good to me. Rafi Glickman. Third year, where'd you grow up?
Cleveland.
Moshe Schwartz. One second. So did you get the did I help you in with that? What you asked for a topic?
Yeah.
If you can find the thread that will lead to that article, you will be world famous in the world of Torah scholarship. Okay? People will bless you. So I'm saying that's Moshe B. Schwartz. TC, what is TC?
Toro.
And you're from Baltimore. Okay, now I know who we're talking about. Okay, you gave it to him. You found him. Okay. Aaron
Cherniak.
Yeshiva College, second year. Where did you grow up?
Toronto.
Wonder what their name is. You're not related to Samuel by any chance. That family. There's a Cherniak there. Yomo Gachman. Yomo suffers because... I have passed la halacha that if you want to live in Chutz Laretz, and remember, Menachem, there are only three reasons you're allowed to go to Chutz Laretz, the Rambam, basically Gemara and Ketubah, the Rambam, the Malachim. The only country you can set foot in today is Russia. You understand why? It's the only country that still accepts the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. You are not allowed to set foot in America. Obama is a total pagan. New York City, same-sex marriages. Menachem, how can you set foot in America? You want to go to Reitz? Check if there's a branch in Moscow. For Yomo. What can I do? Yomo, I love you. What can I do? Vixno, Shmuel Goldstein. Shmuel Goldstein. Why did he run away? He has a class, his wife.
He went to Moscow.
No, he's from Yerushalayim. All right, anyone else in this room whose name is not here? All right, I'll work on the list. Let me continue. Noah Cohn. Noah, I want to ask you a different question now. We have a word that when I was growing up we never heard the word, but today we just spoke about it with the Satmaguv, the Mishnah at the end of Tainit, not using women's names, magazines, newspapers that block out women's faces. We're not talking pornography, we're talking pictures of the Secretary of State of America, pictures of candidates for the presidency of America, Hillary Clinton. Black out their faces. A word came to play, frumkeit. You've heard that word? Tell me, are you allowed to be frumer than everybody else? Have you ever studied Musa? Have you studied the Mishnah Berurah? Menachem? What do you say? Mechze ki Yehura. What are you? Could you imagine you're at the Plaza Hotel, or what's it called today, whatever that is. The hotel's changed names now, I apologize. But I know it as the Plaza since 1974. That's when its doors opened.
76.
They were building it in 73, 74?
No, I was there when they opened.
76? Wow, it took 3 years. Okay, I stand corrected. Menachem, you're walking into the plaza and you meet, for the sake of argument, Reb Menashe Klein. And you're going to Kiddush on the 22nd floor, the top floor. Very wealthy Jews own those top apartments. Penthouse apartments, I think they're called. And the Reb Menashe Klein is getting into the automatic elevator. Tell me, would you go to the stairway and say, Rebbe, I have a chumrah, I'm not samach on the mekilim, using an automatic elevator Shabbos? What do you think about that? There's a little guy from Jerusalem who went to Marava and is in the Reed Smicha program, which is a dignified program, I hope, I believe. And there's Reb Menashe Klein, a Gaon Adir, a Shas Bayhat, and he's taking the elevator with Rav Ovadia Yosef, and you want to use the steps. Tell me.
Relax. I heard Ravadia's son tell me that Ravadia didn't took the steps even though he had a big problem with his foot, and I know the fact.
I want to ask you, and assuming...
No, Rebbe just said Ravadia's
son. Say that we'll lose Rav Ovadia Yosef. You want me to use more contemporary names? Rav Asaf Bednash is taking the elevator. Fine. Would you walk away or would you take it? Do you understand what we're dealing with here? Now, let's... First of all, Alpi Halacha, you have to take the elevator. You can have all the chumras in the world, but in front of Gedolei Yisrael, you don't show a shtick that you're chumrah than they are. You understand? That was the shaila that we used to play with. If you ended off Rabbi Bednash's class about kosher gelatin and enzymes, so that was the story we all used to talk about. If we were in Boston and we're at the Rav's table, and the Rebbetzin was serving hard cheese,
Kraft marshmallows,
Kraft's cheese, Kraft's marshmallows. In New York already we had kosher cheese. We had Bistritsky on the east side. We had Migdal cheese. No, the Rav is now serving you Kraft's cheese. Would you eat it or wouldn't eat it? Now you think about it. Now let's go a step further.
Real question, would you not shovel it down?
Would you not what?
Shovel it down.
What do you mean shovel it down?
It's supposed to be good.
Oh, no, I thought you meant shovel it down, not to taste it, so you shouldn't get involved in a problem with having... I don't know. Okay,
the Boy Scouts, 10 miles from the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Now it's in New York. So they always have one of the five camps. All this was given by our friend Jacob Schiffer to the Boy Scouts in America.
Right.
Anyway, one of them was a kosher camp.
Right,
all
I know that.
Black kids all eat kosher. So there is J.J. Schechter's farm, Herschel Schechter.
Right.
And he's eating a yellow Kraft cheese. So Philip Goodman, who was a Wisconsin of North Cork.
And your father in law.
How are you eating this cheese? He says, well, so late you told us it's all right.
Okay. You get the point. Now let me give you a little Gemara. A powerful Gemara. Unfortunately, this Gemara comes to play in a different context in the state of Israel in the year 2015. Tell me, Zev Kahana. Zev, who do I have? Zev? He walked out. Zev, I'm missing Zev. Menachem Davidson. Rafi Glickman. Rafi?
Yeah.
Okay. Rafi. Do you, are you familiar with what destroyed the life of a guy named Rothkopf? You're not familiar. You're not familiar, you haven't studied Washington. Okay, maybe one day you'll get there. Rafi, here is a 23-year-old musmach of Ritz, thrown into the rabbinate, Bally Kinwood, Lower Merion Synagogue, second rabbi, small shul, and one of the wealthy Balabatim makes a kiddush at his home to welcome the new rabbi. This Balabas is a graduate of Yeshiva College, Hashem is Shabbos, successful businessman, and he gives the young rabbi a bottle of kosher wine, whatever there was then. It's not like today, you have magnificent kosher wines, they give a bottle of Slanga, Shapiro, Malaga wine. The rabbi makes kiddush, and then Rafi, the Balabas, says, "Rabbi, turn away." And he breaks out a bottle of French wine. And the rabbi had the chutzpah, the audacity, to say to him, "This wine is not kosher." 1 week later, "Why, you got a letter, get that moron Rothkopf out of here. He embarrassed our president." Said the wine was not kosher. French wine. Tell me, was the wine kosher or wasn't the wine kosher? Well, what's there to guess about? French wine. 61. There was one kosher wine in all of France. Of course the wine was not kosher. Tell me, what can be not kosher about wine? Moshe B. Schwartz. What is wine? Grapes. Moshe, have you ever seen an unkosher grape? For a Nazir, a grape is non-kosher. You're not a Nazir. Rabbi Goren Spadlor, Rabbi David Cohn, he couldn't eat grapes. He was a Nazir. What can be unkosher about a grape? Simon, what am I saying? What do we know? The whole sugya, Sechet Avodah Zarah. My classmate, Rabbi Dr. Professor Chaim Soloveitchik, his whole life devoted to the study of Yenam. His magnum opus came out about 2-3 years ago. Chazal made a gezerah on wine. Why? To build up a fence between Jew and Gentile. If you start drinking with them, you can fall in love with them. You get drunk with them. Hit bola lut, intermarriage. Right or wrong? And until today, we only use kosher wine. Aaron, am I right or wrong? From Jews, kosher wine. Conservative movement had this question years ago. They got 3-4 different answers from their Committee on Rabbinic Law. Kosher wine only. Kosher wine only for sacramental purposes. No need for kosher wine today. What's wrong with grapes? All right, this is wine. Yitzchak, have you bought a bottle of olive oil lately? Have you bought a bottle of olive oil? Very healthy. Very good. Those of you who love olive oil. Oh. To me, the greatest treat, take a matzah, take some black bread, olive oil, shum. What's shum in English?
Garlic.
Shum, garlic.
Wow. Some schmaltz and grieving.
Schmalzing, grieving, lichmen, tief, tire, and dread.
Yeah, but
we got you, we got. Gentlemen, Yitzchak and Herbie bought olive oil from Spain, from Italy, Greece, not just Israel. They sell their olive oil, I don't know why they import. They compete with the Israeli products. Are you allowed to use olive oil from Spain, from Greece, from Italy? Are you? Everyone says yes. No? Tell me about the whole sugya in Masechet Avodah Zarah. Wasn't there a long attempt to outlaw Shemin Akum, like Yayin Akum? You were not allowed. They tried to build a fence. They didn't want Jews and Gentiles to drink, to eat, to celebrate together. And the staples of every party were wine and olive oil. And look what happened to that gezeirah. Ein hatzibur yachol la'amod bo. You've all learned Hilchot Mamrim. Look at Perek Bet. When is a gezeirah chal? The tzibur has to be able to observe it. The tzibur has to be able to withstand it. Baruch Hashem, wine caught on. Shemen Akum did not catch on. It was too difficult. Chazal had to abolish it.
What about the fruit kind?
One second. I'm going to give you a Gemara. Relax.
A non-Shomer Shabbos Jew takes the bottle of wine. Is he possible wine?
That's a different story. The Achronim deal with it black and white. You halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh, I would say no. A non-Shomer Shabbos Jew is not a mumah l'hachas. He's a total amor. It's a total boor. He's not a mumah l'tayavon. He's the total ignoramus. But Bisman Hazer, what they do is a Yayin Mevushal. Once it's Yayin Mevushal, you don't have a problem because a guy can come. So you have to be careful. A guy shouldn't serve it. Only Jews should serve it. One second. What's your name?
Rafi Klein.
I don't see your name here. So wait a second, you didn't write it down? My eyes are not going. Rafi Klein. Klein, K-L-E-I-N. Where'd you go to college?
College.
And what's your smicha? Where were you raised?
North Miami Beach.
Got it. Gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Rafi Klein decides not to use olive oil. He will live with the gezeirah. No? Are you a good Jew? Or are you an eisfaf? What do you say, Rafi?
I'm an eisfaf.
You're worse than an eisfaf. If you're a Talmid Chacham and you're studying for smicha, you are a zaken mamre. Do you know what that means?
Stoned.
Oh my, sucking mamre. Tell me, how does Rakefet know this? Rafi, is he making it up? Yerushalmi, Avodah Zarah. Never forget this source, gentlemen. Crucial. Yerushalmi, Avodah Zarah, Perek Bet. In the Ritva's edition of the Yerushalmi, it is Daf Tet Zayin Omer Aleph. Daf Tet Zayin Omer Aleph. When you call the Yerushalmi, there are terrible problems. There's so many different editions that there's no standard pagination. And that makes it very difficult to quote the Yerushalmi properly. But I'm quoting it in a way that you'll have no problem finding it because the edition of the Ritva's until today is the most popular edition, although it's changing rapidly with the art scroll Yerushalmi that's coming out. Daf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph, right the bottom third of the page. The Yerushalmi says, Rebbe Ubeit Dino Hitiru B'Shemen. That Rebbe Yehuda Chassid Rebbe, was Matir Shemin Akum. Amar Shmuel. Ocham. So they told the story. Shmuel ate olive oil from Spain, from Italy, from Greece. Rav lo kibel alei mechel. And Rav wouldn't accept it, wouldn't eat, couldn't break with the frumkeit, couldn't break with what he considered essential, couldn't accept what Rebbe and his Beitin said. Shmuel told him, according to Yerushalmi, you better eat the olive oil. The locane, if you don't eat the olive oil, ana katav alecha zakein mamre. I'm going to write a psak against you, a paskvila, a moda'a, call it what you want. I'm going to publicize it in every newspaper. You are a zakein mamre. Gentlemen, this Gemara, critical. Avodah Zarah, I'll quote it another way, Perik Bet, Halacha Chet. But you'll find it in the Ridbaz edition, Tetzayin Amid Aleph. Wow. What a Gemara. What a statement. You understand what's happening here? We have to be one Jewish people. We can't wind up becoming 1,001 sects. When you take on a chumrah, you're making a statement. I'm frumer than everybody else. I'm different than anybody else. And ultimately, you can wind up becoming a sect. And this goes against the heart of Yiddishkeit. This is the whole problem of sucking. Zakein Mamre? Tremendous Talmidei Chachamim. To be a Zakein Mamre, you had to be a member of Sanhedrin. You had to have smicha ish mi pi ish. But if you're going to paskin against the accepted psak, against the Beitin HaGadol, against your Chaverim, it's the end of Yiddishkeit. And a Zakein Mamre is Chayav Mita. It's unbelievable. Now, this term Zakein Mamre is thrown around today in the Israeli politics. I don't have to tell you if Menachem grew up here, so you know very well what I'm talking about. Nowadays, what's going on in Panovich? God have mercy. Shem Yirachem. It makes Chevron look like the height of decency and Yirat Shemayim. I don't understand it. Beyond my camera. I saw pictures of what they destroyed in the yeshiva last week. What's going on between Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak? The terms up in Mamre. Oh, wow. But leaving out the politics that envelops us, that engulfs us, that destroys us, I would say. Leaving all that out, there's a tremendous basic message here. That we can't be frumer than Klal Yisrael. Very powerful message. And he quotes the Meiri in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph. This is in the Bavli. And the Meiri says that Ein Re'ui L'Talmud Chacham L'Chit Chaseid Yote Midai V'Limana Mimeno Shelo L'Chot Silaz Al hanohagim bo cheta. Wow. The Miri spells it out. That if the Rabbanim are matir, if they're the Mavatel, the Gezerah, they're Mavatel, the Takana, this is it. And we have no right to be machmir. And this is basic to understanding Yiddishkeit. And this will explain to you why Reb Menashe Klein says what he's hitting home at. Don't quote the Gaon to me. Don't quote the Mishkanot Yaakov to me. We've had a rhythm in every city, including Vilna, including where the Mishkanot Yaakov lived in Lithuania. And we cannot be frummer than our forebears, our forefathers. And I have every right to feel that a Erev can be built in Brooklyn. I'll go one step further. Safer than I'm going to come to. I'll just give you one more example so it stands out clearly. I will deal with it in depth when I deal with Reb Menashe Klein and his psakim beyond the Erev. It's not now. Reb Moshe Feinstein was the most important posek we had in the United States. I don't think anyone can disagree with that statement. There were other poskim, there were other Rabbanim Gedolei Yisrael who wrote many sfarim psak, but Reb Moshe, he was Reb Moshe. He caught on. He was the Reb Moshe. Everyone turned to him, and until today, Reb Moshe's star shines. Reb Moshe left an interesting family. Among his descendants is a grandson, Rabbi Mordechai Tendler. Anyone here from Muncie would recognize the name. Rabbi Mordechai Tendler is the son of our dear colleague, a Rebbe of yours, Reb Moshe David Tendler, whom I know since 1951, the day I entered the yeshiva. Later in life, Reb Moshe Feinstein needed assistance. We grow older, we can't do what we used to do when we were younger. I can tell you that's a fact of life. My wife always says to me, "Why are we so tired?" I say, "Why are we so tired? Look at our age. It's part of life." Okay. Reb Mordechai assisted Reb Moshe. And because he assisted Reb Moshe, he had endless conversations with his grandfather. And these were conversations that no one else had. It's like Rabbi David Holzer wrote an entire volume when he was the shamus of the Rav of the conversations he had of the Rav. One second. Let's save time. Give me your name.
Noah.
Ah, the first one. Noah, you're from Boca. So you know Rabbi Kenny Brander was the Rav Shamus. I can tell you he will probably give you many conversations he had with the Rav. Rakefet treasures and cites in his scholarship the conversations he had with the Rav. Okay? So, Alacha Kama Vakama, when you're with your grandfather Rav Moshe for 10, 15, 20 years, you can imagine the conversations he had with the Rav. Simon, why am I telling you this? What volume appeared about a year ago and quickly sold out? And I have to thank my student Steve Gross, who came up with a copy for me. Mesoret Moshe. Over 700 pages of conversations that Mordechai had with his grandfather. I took that volume to America and I never budged without it, and I dabbled in a Hasidic shtibble for the 5 weeks I was there, and a dear friend who I became very friendly with in that shtibbel, an Israeli Bamakar, asked me, Gershon Nof, asked me time and again, "What are you doing with this volume?" And then he asked me Shabbos, he wanted me to come to a late minyan, the Mefabracht, and they have Kiddush, and they sing, and they come Mandaba. And I looked for the earliest minyan in Borough Park. Very hard to come by. The Hasidim are such sinners when it comes to davening. It's beyond words. But what can I do? Minhag avotechem b'yadechem, but not b'yadi. So I found Rabbi Singer's shul. I got a 6:30 minyan. And he said, "What do you do when you come home?" I said, "What do I do when I come home?" I told him, "I cannot get onto the plane to go back to Israel if I haven't finished this volume." And Baruch Hashem, I made a see him on the plane. Drank a l'chaim. Vic, what could he say? Chassid versus Alitvak. Couldn't tell me, put the volume down. "Is the volume reliable?" He said, "Well, it has haskama from Reb David Feinstein, Reb Reuben Feinstein, Reb Moshe David Tendler, with their own signatures. So I should hope it's reliable." Oh, gentlemen, there's one part there I want to tell you. I laughed with joy. I cried with happiness. I had a Talmud in the 60s. I taught in New York in YU. I had a Talmud in the 60s. I won't mention his name because you recognize the sefer. Say that. After he finished with a Rebbe like Rakef, like Rothkopf at the time, he became real right wing. And a few years later, he wrote a tremendous volume. I think it was over 500 pages. I remember going through it. I think it was called Hadrat Panim, How You Must Have a Beard. And anyone who doesn't have a beard is a rotten, vicious, malicious, hideous, tainted, toothless, depraved, degenerate, debauched, repetitious, malevolent sinner. Exclamation point. Wow. Menachem, he came to Reb Moshe for Haskama. And Reb Moshe, I couldn't believe, page after page, recorded by his grandson, Mordechai Pendler, who I imagine has a beard. Some of you may know him. I don't know him personally. Imagine he has a beard. His father has a beard. His brothers have beards. He has a beard. Reb Moshe, I think, had a beard. I'm sure Reb Moshe spoke with him in learning many times. Reb Moshe ripped the heck out of this poor guy. The chutzpah. How dare you write a sefer like this? Gidolei Yisrael didn't have beards. Hey, quotes, what we all know. The Ramchal, the Mesillat Yesharim, the Tshuva of the Chatam Sefer that I quoted a year or two ago. Not only that, in the European Yeshiva, you weren't allowed to have a beard. You went to Mir. Look at the pictures of Mir, Slabodka, Panovich, Tells. Before you got married, before you took a shtela, before you went into the rabbinate, you were eisfaf if you grew a beard. Wow. And you're coming along, a little schmitzig American kid from Queens, writing and poking fun and dismissing and saying they're not frum because they don't have beards, and Reb Moshe refused to give him Haskama. Unbelievable. You got to read it page by page by page. Reb Moshe back and forth, and angry, angry. So you see, Frumkeit can be harmful. Frumkeit has limits. And when it comes to Erev, every community in the world has an Erev, and you're coming along and you're claiming that we cannot build an Erev in Brooklyn? Rav Menashe Klein, very powerful. On this level, irrefutable. You cannot refute him. And when it comes to Frumkeit, this is so important, and I have to tell you something. I'm not happy with the system in Israel where they give various grades of hechsherim. Kosher, kosher lemahadrin, kosher lemahadrin min hamahadrin. It's not good. Give a hechsher. Pick a standard. If there's a Jew who's more machmir, fine. Don't make a public stand. Eat what you can. Don't play games. You heard, Rabbi Ben Lashem, I don't eat kosher gelatin. But I would never ask him. I know what. I'll be halacha. Can we make hillsign? Now with the marshmallows, by the way, the word that they use is the bloom. That the gelatin has to create a bloom in the marshmallow. That gives it that fluffy taste, that marshmallow taste. And fish gelatin today practically creates the same bloom, it goes with numbers, as animal gelatin. And my student who has the patent told me Pashkes uses his fish gelatin. The gelatin that comes out of Manchester could be that's the glatt kosher gelatin where you get involved in the question that comes from an animal, is it fleshix, is it parv? Rabban Kotler Paskin, it was parv, and they did it for Bartons, if my memory is correct, but it didn't pay to do it, it was too expensive. But it could be they use fish gelatin in Manchester too, but it's not the fish gelatin that Rabbi David Holzer has the patent on. But there, it's a perfect example. You don't make a stand, you don't make an issue. And in Israel, it's very disturbing to me. You don't know who's what, when, where, what are the standards, what do they mean kosher, what do they mean glatt, what do they mean lemahadrin, lemahadrin. There, my humble opinion, there has to be a kashrut for Klal Yisrael, period. I'll give the OU credit that the OU has one standard. And you know right away what the OU standard is. The meat is glatt. The milk products are chalav, are stam chalav, unless it says specifically chalav Yisrael. The OU, kol hakavod to Rabbi Menachem Ganak, the czar of kashrut. Let's give honor where honor is due. But what a point Rav Menashe Klein makes. And let me end off the class. Makes one more point here. And all the detractors say to him, who are you? What are you? What do you know about America? Who ever heard of an Erev here? And Rav Menashe Klein goes back to 1902. And we'll come to sources, not yet, when we finish with Rav Menashe Klein and Rav Moshe Feinstein, we'll come to sources. But you should be aware that an Erev was built on the east side of New York using the 3rd Avenue L. And they got involved with Poskim and Machloket, and they wrote to the Gedolei Yisrael in Europe, and the Mashan Shvadron, the Bezhina Rav, who was one of the greatest poskim in Galicia, in that part of Europe, ultimately was Mata the Erev Lachatchila, once they explained to him how it was built in the 3rd Avenue well, and a good part of the east side had an Erev around it. It was not without Machlaikit, because we'll see historically wherever an Erev is built in a new area, time and again, lachatchila, there is machloket. I'll explain to you why when we deal with Reb Moshe Bick next week, Be'ezrat Hashem. But it is fascinating how Reb Menashe Klein defends himself on every level. So what did we do today? Yes, the Vilna Gaon. And it raises a question way beyond the narrow confines of the Erev. Brilliant, brilliant people. How can you compare the Lubavitcher Rebbe knew Kol HaTorah Kula Baal Peh? The Rav was overwhelmed by his photographic memory. All right, you can have a photographic memory. You can be so insightful, so innovative, but a generation has to seek its own level. And this is what we mean by Fukhazi Mai Amma Devar. It's an unbelievable concept, the power of Klal Yisrael, the role that Klal Yisrael plays in determining halacha, but you have to be careful. It is not Klal Yisrael of the Jewish forwards. It's not Klal Yisrael of the Jewish week. It's not even Klal Yisrael of the Jewish press. It's Klal Yisrael of dedicated Jews, Talmidei Chachamim, who feel their responsibility that the Jewish people should continue li'olam, li'olam va'ed. And this is Reb Menashe Klein. We've always had an Erev. How can you come along and quote the Gaon? And even if you quote the Gaon, but remember, in his own city, there was an Erev. And these are his very words. The Yerushalmi with Shem and Akum is very powerful. The Me'iri. And this is why the Mishnah Berurah, when he paskins Bal Nefesh Yachmia, it means Yachmia, Zakt in Yiddish, Famir Alein. You don't make a public display out of your chumras. Lo Motziim Laz Al Klal Yisrael. In Washington Heights, there's an Erev. You don't want to be Samach on it? Do it quietly. Don't make a stand. Don't make machloket. Don't make yourself holier than anyone else. Look what Rav said to, look what Rav Shmuel said to Rav. If you don't use stam shemen shemen akum, I will declare you a zakein mamre. Those are very powerful words. And finally, the 1902 precedent we cannot dismiss. It's not that Columbus discovered America and we suddenly came up with something that nobody had before. Okay, gentlemen, tomorrow's share, anyone who comes gets $36,000 added to the IOU list by the Rebbe in honor of the memory of Reb Shmuel Belkin. I want to ask you a different question. About half a year ago, they advertised Masechet Nida notes by Reb Heschel Shechta of the Rav on Masechet Nida written up. If anyone knows how to get it, please tell me. Someone came to me and asked me. Do you know where it can be bought today?
I have a copy here. You can email Shai Shachter, his son.
Yeah, and he, so give me the information tomorrow, okay? I'll greatly appreciate it. If anyone is interested, this is from the Sfarim blog, and towards the end it has more information on Reb Yehuda Leib Feuer. So it's amazing. We may have started something in this classroom when we spoke about Reb Yehuda Leib Feuer, that a lot of people are getting interested in who he was.
Right, that deserves a doctor.
Well, we know that. This is also very interesting. A YU Rebbe, Rav Gabriel Bechafa, published, I guess it's a result of the Satmar Rav, a Hashkafa of dating. So I have to tell you, I looked at it and it's impressive. So it shows you from the Satmar Rav's comments, it's mitgalgel, it's rolling down the hill like a snowball, and maybe a lot of good will come out of it, Be'ezrat Hashem. I want to remind you again tomorrow, due to Rabbi Miller's new schedule, we begin at 9:05, and tomorrow's shir, it's very, very, what I'm beginning, it's mamish tchiyat hametim, and a chesed shalemet, because Reb Shmuel Belkin's name is forgotten, and we owe the man a great debt of gratitude. And I want to talk about him beginning with tomorrow as best as I can. I don't know all the facts that awaits a doctorate and a lot of research, but at least I can put it together. After Reb Shmuel Belkin, we leave over YU, and we shift to Hasidus, and we shift to many, many weeks on the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vidanya. Thank you very, very much. Mariv, I'll catch you. Give up Mordechai. Okay, we'll catch Mariv.